From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, October 15th, 2013. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Augmented reality implementations, solutions that overlay information on the real world, continue to proliferate. This week, we explore some of the latest uses and their significance in this developing technology area. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine is the leader in geospatial technology webinars. If your organization is interested in more sales leads, stronger brand awareness, and positioning your company as a key thought leader, then let us help you deliver a professionally produced live event that reaches a global audience. For more information on both our 30 and 60-minute webinar formats, go to www.geospatialwebinars.com.
Now, augmented reality, I think, is still something more people talk about than actually use on a day-to-day or even month-to-month basis. But that's starting to change as organizations find new and clever ways to make it easy to use, compelling, and rewarding. And this week, what we want to do is offer a roundup of new uses and incremental steps that we're seeing toward wider adoption. So, Joe, what are you finding in terms of augmented reality implementations of interest?
Well, let me make a general comment about augmented reality, because I looked at this a couple of years ago. We even focused on it at one of our LI conferences. We started a LinkedIn group called Geospatial Augmented Reality. To me, when I go around making presentations, I always use augmented reality as an example of things that are in their early stages that we didn't quite know how they were going to turn out. And I always remind people that if you use one of the augmented reality navigation apps, there's very few people on the long-term basis that are going to hold their phone up in front of their eye and walk around and with it in front of them and do it on a regular basis. It seemed to be that the navigation apps for augmented reality were good attempts, but the implementations and the long-term viability never really caught on because it was inconvenient. It never really brought you any true additional information that you probably couldn't get from other sources. So the whole industry, I think, has migrated to finding their niche. And even some of the early companies, Layer and Juneo, I think they're looking at different markets, different industries to parlay their technology developments and try to make a go of it, you know, whatever it may be, augmented reality 2.0 or 3.0, whatever it's going to be. So there's been some changing focus. And a lot of that focus, in my first example, is in publishing. Layer now kind of has moved or shifted their focus into how can I utilize augmented reality when I see something on a printed page. So they're trying to link the printed page with the digital world, and they've got a few applications out there that we've posted. One is called Peek into ImTech. It's a way that when you see an ad and you see the offer to use augmented reality, you can grab images, you know, inscribe with your finger actually, and take an image, link it up to the digital domain from the printed domain. We're seeing publishing, I think, do more with augmented reality than they are with the geo and the navigation apps.
Now, how is that different than just using a QR code?
I think, to answer your question, there doesn't seem to be much difference than a QR code. It's essentially scanning the area and putting the device near it so that you can capture the digital. So I would say no, there's not a whole lot of difference.
This doesn't sound like augmented reality to me. How is this enhancing the current worldview that I have? What's the enhancement?
I think the enhancement for them is the ability to capture something virtually. In other words, the augmentation is inscribing with your finger the picture, and what you see is essentially a box around you, the individual making a box around the picture and then grabbing that picture.
Okay, I don't get it at all.
Yeah, it isn't a great implementation, but that's the way they're describing
it. Okay, and it sounds like it's a stretch trying to get as far away from, say, navigation, which as you suggested, didn't seem to be a good solution with the current hardware.
I think they're all searching. I think they're all searching for how to, you know, this sounded like a great idea to begin with, but now we're pivoting to something else.
Okay, well, let's go back to navigation, because I found a navigation implementation that I think is just phenomenal and works very well with the phone implementation that we have today. And this actually is based on the Jineo technology. And it was the problem seems to be that the aquarium in Tokyo is a great place, but people have trouble finding it. I've never been to Tokyo, but apparently navigation is tough, and there's just a lot. It's a very busy city, so finding that little niche that you're looking for can be difficult. And there's an organization called Hakuhodo Tokyo Do AR, which sounds more like a design marketing kind of firm maybe than something else. Produce this augmented reality solution that would navigate people from wherever they were to the aquarium by holding up their phones and following penguins to the aquarium. And these weren't just like cartoony penguins. These were penguins that were acting like and walking like real penguins. So all I can say is I am totally in, and if I were a parent or a kid under, 12 or 13, this would be what I would remember about going to the aquarium, was following the penguins, not actually being in the aquarium.
I have to agree with you. I looked at that app and I thought, now that is clever. That is very clever. And in fact, I think the person who helped capture the actual images of the penguin and digitize them so that the walking is like a penguin in the virtual augmented the virtual augmented penguin
experience.
It's like the real one. I thought that was very, very clever.
The good news was attendance at the aquarium rose. You know, it's hard to know if that was exactly the reason, but they seem to suggest it was. The reason I think this works is exactly what you said. This idea that they're acting like real penguins, so this isn't some cartoony, fakey kind of thing. This is as real as you can get, as a practical application, get me to the aquarium, and it's participatory. And what I loved was some of the photographs of people trying to also walk like penguins as they're following the penguins down the street. Super clever, and really capturing, in a sense, what we as humans are all about, which is that we're drawn to cute animals, and you know we love penguins, so yeah, all good. And it's won awards, and this is one of those case studies you want to look at.
The example I've got is one from 3D design, and when we undertook this exercise to talk about this today, I would put these augmented reality demos into three areas: 3D, publishing, and geo, for lack of a better term. Although we've also seen it in retailing. I think some of the interesting apps that we've seen are how to visualize a piece of clothing on an individual's body. That's one that I think we've discussed and put in our blog before. But there was one I came across, it was called the Madison Center Experience, and there is a building going up in downtown Seattle called the Madison Center, and somebody created an augmented reality app so that you essentially point your phone at the building and actually monitor the development of the building, the construction of the building in 3D. It'll give you news and updates in what they're calling a true augmented reality experience. Single application, watch the building go up, look for new information. One of those apps that will go away, but maybe more people will find it interesting to create an app in the construction or 3D design or urban planning environment.
So this does it. In fact, take advantage of augmented reality in the sense of as you move your phone around looking at this construction site, you get different information?
Yeah, well, that's what the app says. Obviously, I'm not in Seattle to play with the app, but that is the description of the app.
Okay, because that's just only so slightly removed from, again, scanning a QR code and going to a website and seeing data.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I'm assuming that the app does is obviously indicates your location and it picks up anything that is going on at that building.
Right.
At the
time. So you might look at it and it would say, "Hey, they're putting in the wiring for the Well, maybe they're not. Maybe it's all wireless, so that isn't good. They're putting in the pipes for the water or whatever. And the only challenging part about that is keeping that data up to date, and maybe that already exists somewhere on a website that's public.
Well, and I'd love to know more about it. There wasn't a lot about the app, but if it's linked to any of the digital architectural drawings, wouldn't that be cool as well?
A lot of potential here, yeah. I guess one of the downsides of something like that is that it's very passive. You have to be very interested to go and get the app and go by the building and look at it, right? And then all you do is you get information. You don't actually interact with it.
Well, it's passive, and you kind of have to know about the app to begin with, right?
There's a pretty high barrier to entry. And some of those high barriers to entry, I think people will take on if there's reward enough on the other side.
Yeah, because for all of these things, if you've got whether you're in the Google Play Store or Apple Store, App Store, you've got to be searching on augmented reality application.
Right. Well, and that's really, I think, where things need to change. This needs to be a tool that you use to solve some other problem. So let me give you another example. So you're on bathrooms.com, where, of course, you would go to search for your bathroom fixtures. The real challenge here isn't, picking the bathroom fixtures is awesome, and there's a catalog of them. But what you really want is to see what they're going to look like in your space.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's what bathrooms.com now has. They have an augmented reality solution where you can select a fixture and see what it looks like in your bathroom. And
right.
It does take, there are some barriers to entry. You got to download the app. You got to launch the app, print a marker that you put in your bathroom where you're going to put this new fixture, choose the fixture you want, and then you get to sort of visualize it and move around it in the space in 3D to see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And now that sounds like a whole bunch of steps, but I would do that. That sounds fun and interactive and solves my problem. It's not
right.
quite as exciting as penguins, mind you. Bathrooms are very important.
That's right. Well, in a similar way, one of the apps I was going to talk about is something from a company called Augmented. And they more or less have a variety of apps. But one of the things, the same situation, which is if you, for a salesperson to carry around this augmented reality app, they could be selling kitchen counters. They could be selling end caps for stores. In other words, some 3D physical object that they could place in an augmented reality setting. It's obviously not there, but if you look through your iPad, you can see it placed, and they'll allow you to readjust the position depending on how it fits with inside the room. And it could be, as I said, a kitchen appliance, a kitchen counter. It could be a piece of furniture, a sofa, for example, and it allows the user to visualize where it will be, how it will look in that physical space. It almost, what I would always call microgeography, right? It's, you only got 6 feet worth of space that you got to fill up, but how is my couch going to fit into that space?
Right. So can we imagine that in not too many years, a representative from Home Depot will come to your house, or the designer will come to your house, even better, and you and he or she will look through the iPad at the couches and whatnot that they have selected to put into your new room that you're redoing.
I don't know why I haven't seen an app from Ethan Allen or Thomasville Furniture or any of these furniture manufacturers who put their catalog in a virtual reality setting. Because isn't that – I mean, we're going through that now personally. We're trying to buy a few pieces of furniture. How's it going to look in the room? How's it going to fit in the room? Does it fit? And we're taking measurements, and it's so archaic.
And this is true of so many things. I'm thinking about curtains and – wallpaper. I mean, don't you know what this is? What will the wallpaper look like on the wall?
And you know how many different flavors of wallpaper there are in Home Depot. Holy cow! Wouldn't it be great?
Right. Now, the only thing that's really interesting about, as I was thinking about this bathroom fixture app, this actually for me would redefine the term showrooming, which now means you go to a store and you look at the electronics and then you go buy it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, now what you do is you use the augmented reality app from bathrooms.com to see which fixture you like and how it fits, and then you go buy it somewhere else online.
Or wouldn't it be interesting to have your choice of bathroom fixtures in the app whether it's from trying to think of the name of the bathroom fixture manufacturers, that they would have their catalog, say, okay, this is, looks good, and then you immediately buy it.
Directly from Kohler or whoever, right?
Correct, right. Uh-huh.
Really, I think what we're sort of observing is these are incremental steps as we move along toward wider use of augmented reality. The last implementation I want to talk about is the one that I think is the sort of most incremental in the sense of this is a very small step. And this has to do with Volkswagen. They have introduced MARTA, the Mobile Augmented Reality Technical Assistance System. This is in partnership with Mateo that allows its technicians to get a 3D visualization of where all the parts of the car are and ones that are actually there and ones that you might want to add in. And what's interesting is that this is actually sort of an extension of an existing repair guide that they've had, you know, on tablets and so forth. So before they could just sort of call up the repair guidelines, and now they also have this enhanced version with the augmented reality, and it sort of walks you through all the steps that you go through to fix whatever the problem is. And this one is incremental because how horrible is it if you have to hold up this iPad or whatever, look through it, see the visualization, find out what the next step is, put this thing down, go do the work, and maybe forget where the little hook is that you need to hook the thing onto. This is incremental because clearly this is going to be something that is going to be on your Google Glass-like solution, so you have both hands-free.
Yeah, yeah, and I've seen similar applications for large document printers. You know, you open up the machine, you look inside, I have no idea what I'm looking at, but the augmented reality app will help you diagnose the issues.
Find the button or the thing to push or pull or take out, right. But yeah, the big problem is that you need both hands to do the work while you're looking at the information.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's interesting about these kinds of solutions is that they will work. In fact, I'm sure this VW thing will work very well because it's a closed system. VW makes the cars, they make the app, and sort of there's very little that can go wrong. And contrast that with these navigation apps that you were talking about initially, where there's only so much information in the app and there's so much more going on in the real world that they could walk you into a pole if there was a new pole, right?
Yeah.
That's less likely to happen in these much more closed systems.
Well, we haven't talked about Google Glass. Is that going to be the catalyst for some of these apps? Is it going to be the platform for which we launch these apps that we think will survive?
Well, I mean, you made the point that the reason that things weren't really taking off was because the hardware, if you like, just wasn't appropriate.
No.
I mean, the fact that you had to hold up and look through the device. And I think that's going to be a big step forward because eventually, so they say, we're all going to have this easily accessible visualization tool on our glasses or on our hat or however they do it. And that's going to make so many more of these things easy to use. And of course, the other thing is we've got to solve this whole, you must go and download this app. You know, that whole process has to be simpler. Such that, for example, if you're walking down the street with your Google Glass and you walk by that building in Seattle, if you've got opt-in on, it would say, hey, you want to take a look at what's going on inside that building that's being built right now? And you just turn your head, and the app downloads, and you're in.
Yeah. There's some assumption, then, that everything will have an app associated with it. We can't automatically assume that that building is going to be augmented reality enabled, right? I mean, and I know Google Glass, you can speak to Google Glass, you can say search on, but that even seems like a stretch.
You know, if we get to the point where everything, you know, you're geolocated, the building is geolocated, and you sort of find each other, you'll get a hint, hey, take a look at this.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a whole nother level of the information that you're interested finding you. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
From us here at Directions Magazine, we're just a month away from our Geoenergy Cyber Summit in Huntsville, Alabama. Local area technologists and businessmen will talk about the convergence of these technologies. More information can be found at geohuntsville.com/conference.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can send us an email at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet at directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is posted at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.